Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is such a pleasure, such a delight, such a privilege to be in the studio answering your questions. Our contact information on the web, as always, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters, CRI. First up today, Mike, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Mike.
Hello, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. How are you?
Good, sir. My question is this. When our Lord was hanging on the cross, he told the one thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And yet when he rose and Mary Magdalene saw him, he said to her, "Don't touch me because I have not descended to the Father." My question is, where did he go? Where was he?
Well, I mean, you have to look at two separate things here. One, what happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross. When he died, his body was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But the non-physical aspect of Christ's humanity went to be with the Father, just as he said to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Or to the Father, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." So Jesus was absent the body, and he was with his heavenly Father in paradise. Now, Jesus was resurrected on the third day, as the scriptures say. So when Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, he made many post-resurrection appearances. This is one of the most powerful proofs for Christianity, the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. And after those post-resurrection appearances, he ascended to heaven. Now, the ascension to heaven is a way of communicating that the God-man physically transcended time and space. So now, physically resurrected, Jesus is forever at the right hand of the throne of power. So he has been exalted to his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So there's a big difference between what happened during the time of Christ's death prior to his resurrection and what happened with respect to his post-resurrection appearances and then his ascension at the end of his earthly ministry.
So his reference to paradise that day was heaven he was speaking of.
Well, paradise is a way of speaking about being in the presence of God. There are a number of different metaphors that are used in Scripture. Abraham's bosom, paradise are but two of them, but they are a way of speaking about being in the presence of God, and that is, as I mentioned earlier, what Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise. You'll be in the presence of the Father."
That's great. That makes sense, and I thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ingrid in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Just started listening to you. It's an awesome pleasure. I'm just curious what your opinion is on a book that I read many years ago called The Divine Revelations of Hell by Mary Baxter.
Yeah, this is not a reliable author nor a reliable book. In terms of the author, She claims her ministry is characterized by miracles and other demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, and that includes dispatching angels, having out-of-body experiences, seeing the Holy Spirit as a man on one occasion. But most notoriously, she claims that Jesus gave her, as you read in the book, this 40-day tour into hell and later into heaven. And hell, according to Baxter, is a deep place within the bowels of the earth. It's shaped like a human being. There are snakes there and rats, and worms slither through ignited corpses, and on goes the sensationalism and the sophistry. Now, what you have to do with books like this and teachings like this is test them in light of Scripture and then hold fast to that which is good. One of the things we recognize immediately is that her depiction of hell is against the clear teachings of Scripture with respect to hell. And I have written about this in my own book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. And so, in short, this is an unreliable author and an unreliable book.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate your time. And again, thanks for all your education.
Well, thank you so much for your kind words. Brent next, he's listening in Durham, North Carolina. Hi, Brent.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for your show, man. And I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Yes, sir. My question was, my family's from Hawaii, and my wife, she dances hula. She's been dancing hula since she was probably 11. And we're in our 50s now. And we still insist on dancing, but we're Christians. We've been Christians for a while, and you know, kind of, I think, convicted that she dances hula because it's kind of pagan. But what are your thoughts on that, you know?
Well, I think whatever is pagan about it can be extracted from it, and it's wonderful that both of you now are followers of Jesus Christ, and I'm sure she's very, very talented at what she does, and I would not see a problem with it whatsoever. I mean, we must not in any way detract from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to the extent that the context in which hula is being used detracts from Christianity, obviously you wouldn't want to be involved with it. But it can also be seen as a wonderful art form and very, very beautiful in terms of a dance. So I wouldn't have a problem with it personally.
Oh, you wouldn't, you said?
I would not.
Oh, okay, yeah, because the place they dance, they don't do the ancient chants to, like, you know, the gods and stuff. They just do more of an entertaining kind of thing.
Well, that's right, and that's the point. I mean, there are certain things that you can extract from their underpinnings, and I think certainly hula would be one of them. You know, it's like yoga. If you go into a yoga class because you want to stretch out, maybe you want to stretch your golf muscles, if you're a golfer, there wouldn't be anything intrinsically wrong with it. But if you have an instructor that is trying to get you to experience the cosmic consciousness of the universe, then maybe you don't want to participate. So, you know, a lot of it really does revolve around context.
I see. Yes, that's exactly right. I understand that. We understand that. Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate it. Look forward to supporting you a little more.
Brent, thank you. Bless you. I want to mention that a lot of the questions that I answer on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, answered in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, a lot of these now in the hands of people around the world. And I'd be pleased to send those who join CRI's monthly support team a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Of course, you can ask for any one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend when you join CRI's monthly support team. This is such a critical aspect of our ministry, people standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry in the battle for life and truth. And we are in a battle. The kind of information that we're putting into the hands of people who are facing the brutality of those who will not even give Christianity a hearing, who have clamped down with their iron boot of intolerance on the Christian worldview. So what is a person to do? Well, we are simply called to be equipped. We're not even called to win. We're just called to be faithful, to be equipped, and to leave the rest up to the Lord. But one of the great defects in American evangelicalism is the fact that we are no longer equipped, ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. And with that comes significant consequence. And that is why, again, we ask people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. I cannot do what I do. The Christian Research Institute cannot do what we do collectively without you. So please join with us. Stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Again, for those who join the monthly support team, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, personalized to you, a family member or a friend. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to the phone calls. Charlie next. He's listening in Arkansas. Hi, Charlie.
Thank you for taking my call. I have recently run across a situation in my church that I'm fairly new member of, and we are studying the treatise. And in there, it had a section on the Holy Spirit, and the preacher was saying the Holy Spirit has a soul. And I had never heard that. And I was just curious what you can tell me about that.
Well, I can't tell you much about that because, first, it does not cohere with how the Scripture speaks about the Holy Spirit, nor does it cohere with what the creeds of the Christian Church say about the Holy Spirit. What we know about the Trinity is that there's one God. Christians are fiercely monotheistic, revealed in three persons, the person of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. Now, as I've said many times in the broadcast, this is a truth, a salient truth, that I can apprehend because that's what the Bible teaches, but I cannot comprehend. So the nature of God, which is ineffable, is something that is forever beyond our ken. Even in eternity, we will continue to learn and grow, albeit without error, more and more about the nature of the very one who saved us by his grace. So we know about God in terms of his self-revelation in Scripture, but I think to go beyond that with permutations or platitudes or phrases that are appended to God, I think is a dangerous thing.
Well, I agree. And like I was saying, he said that that is what gives the Holy Spirit his personage, was a soul. And I thought, no, I have never seen any scripture to support that myself. So,
and that's the beautiful thing in terms of how you're approaching this. You're testing what is being said in light of Scripture, holding fast to the good. And there's nothing in Scripture that would warrant that designation.
Well, he did quote a verse, and I'm driving right now, and I don't have available that scripture. It was along the line, my soul is grieved, and I think it was pertaining to either Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit, one of the three, saying their soul was grieved.
Yes, and this certainly can pertain to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it does, but you also have to recognize the metaphor that is being used. Jesus is deeply grieved, and so that metaphor is used to communicate the depth of his grief and anguish, but it is not used to, in any way, try to communicate that the Father has a body, a soul, and a spirit. The Son has a body, soul, and spirit. The Holy Spirit has a body, soul, and spirit, as many aberrant teachers have taught, like Benny Hinn, who went so far as to say, therefore, there are nine in the Godhead because each has its own personal body, soul, and spirit. This is simply nonsense. And again, it's thinking about God in a way that goes beyond how God has taught us to think about himself.
Exactly. I agree completely. And that's one question I asked him. I said, well, now if the Holy Spirit has a soul, does God have a soul also? And he avoided that question. And, you know, the context I saw in that scripture was that Jesus was talking in the human perspective that his soul was grieved. And there again, you know, I looked at my, you know, the way it was spelled and in my Bible, you know, that it when it refers to the Godhead, you know, the Holy Spirit or God or Jesus, referring to he or them, it's capitalized, and that was not capitalized. So I do appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tom in Seattle, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Hank. Evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've got a head injury, so I apologize. Sometimes I'm working with a deficit after a brain aneurysm. Mm. So if I fall off track, you'll know why. I've got a question I'm trying to repair by study, not only myself, but I'm working with my kids and my grandkids. And we love your Bible Answered book, by the way. That has been, that's been Grandpa's gift the last several years. Hmm. The question I have is in Isaiah 49:16 specifically, and I don't have my Bible in front of me, so I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. But I believe it says, "Behold, I have carved you in the palm of my hands." Is that essentially talking about the Lamb's Book of Life? I'm trying to tell my grandsons and my sons, I think it's one and the same, where if you acknowledge God, he writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life for eternity.
I think that's a very astute observation on your part. I mean, it is two ways of speaking about the same thing. It means that you are his and he is yours, and that God knows those who are in his hand, and no one will snatch them out of his hand. And so it is a way of communicating that you are a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and therefore your name is etched in his hand or written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So again, a very astute observation on your part.
I appreciate that. For me, it's thanks to my mom. She brought us up to have a relationship with Jesus, and I have built on that my entire life. Thankfully, I walk and talk with him from the minute my, thank you again, Lord, for Life Flight and the Harbor View and neurosurgeons that knew how to repair a, I had an aneurysm break in my head, so it's like a stroke. And thank God for doctors' hands and his, well, Dr. Jesus, blessing their hands and skills.
Tom, let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for Tom, for his call. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless and use him for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom. Lord, may your hand rest upon him. And Lord, may he have peace in the midst of life's storms. We pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Shelley in Thousand Oaks, California. Hi, Shelley.
Yes, I had a question, and I can't find this number anywhere on the internet. Do you know what percentage of Americans embrace New Age ideology?
Well, I don't think you'll ever find a number, and the reason is that defining the New Age movement is not a simple task. The New Age movement is composed of people coming from a vast array of independent traditions and persuasions. Now, Eastern and occult mysticism do provide the basis for their values, especially the belief that everything is essentially one and that this one is God. A view that is known as pantheistic monism. But New Agers are also committed to the vision of an upcoming period of universal peace and enlightenment. They call it the Age of Aquarius, where the entire population will be composed essentially of New Age believers. And there has been a resurgence of paganism in our time. But again, it is a multifaceted kind of a movement, and therefore it's very, very hard to delineate any kind of a specific number. Again, it's a kaleidoscope of occultic beliefs and practices, including reincarnation and channeling and all kinds of forms of divination. So very, very hard to put a number to.
Yes, I understand completely. I was just trying to get an idea of the scope of it, and I thought, and you're an eloquent speaker, you put that so well. Thank you so much for your input.
Well, you're welcome. And one side note, according to the Pew Research Forum, 1 in 4 Americans believe in reincarnation, which is one of the tenets of the New Age movement. Also, the Pew Research finds large numbers of Americans engaged in syncretistic religious traditions. And this is certainly a syncretistic tradition. Wish I could take more calls, but we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, my deepest appreciation to those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can join the monthly CRI support team online at equip.org/donate. When you do, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, check that out on the web at equip.org. Again, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth. Because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.